If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And by fact that you're in this room probably indicates just a little bit that you really believe that. Like when we sing these songs that we just sang and we're worshiping and we're like, oh, I'm running to your arms. There's no other place that I can go. We believe it. And we've experienced it, and we know it's true. We hear stories all the time of incredible things that God's doing, but there's also a reality. If we're honest, and really honest, not just like we came to church and we're going to go, yeah, everything's going great, honest, but like really deep in our heart, sometimes we go, is our help really in God? Is it really there? Is that really? Can he help us? Is he really a help? Because there's this cognitive dissonance in our life where we truly do believe that we believe that God is our helper, that he made all things. And then there's moments in our life where things start falling apart and we're like, really? Is he really our help? And I hear these stories all the time. What, even this week, last night, some of you experienced water in your basement and you're like, really? God, you're supposed to be our help, really? We hear stories all the time, just in conversations with you, of sickness, of death, frustration with the season of life, with something that's happening in your life, and you're saying, God, are you really our help? And so this morning, I want to ask this question because I think this is a fair question to ask of us. It's a reflective question to ask, and this is the question. Are you overwhelmed by the hazards of life? Are you overwhelmed by the hazards of life, or are you comforted by the help of God? Are you overwhelmed by the hazards of life, or are you comforted by the help of God? And as we flow through Psalm 124 this morning, here's, I think, a couple things. It's going to help expose really where we're at. Which one? Are we overwhelmed by the hazards, or are we helped by the hope of God? And number two, as we get to the very back of this sermon, I'm hoping that we kind of see through the text a secret sauce to help you if you're struggling with finding your help in God. So let's dive in this morning. This is Psalm 124. You heard it read. I don't know if you know this. As we read these every single week, these are people from our church that are reading these. We love it. It's been a super fun way to kind of engage in the Psalms. But let's start in verse 1 of Psalm 124. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. Let's stop right there because we've got to remind ourselves that we're on in this series, the Song of Ascents. And the people of Israel would sing these songs as they were headed up three times a year to Jerusalem. And so they're headed up. These are the songs that they would sing on their journey. And so as they're singing, all of a sudden, there's a song leader. And he's like, hey, had it not been on the Lord who was on our side, and you almost hear this in the poetry here in the Psalms, he's like, hey, when the people, oh, sorry, I just wrote that when I should have read this. My bad. I thought that was on. If it had not, let Israel now say. There's a song leader up front that's going, hey, let's sing this out together, Israel, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. And it's almost like this. Every year, once or twice a year, we drive to Oklahoma where I'm from. and I'm kind of a loud singy song type of a guy. And so when we crossed the border of Oklahoma every time, if you ever saw Rodgers and Hammerstein, Oklahoma, it is the state song. And all of a sudden, literally while we're crossing the river or the state line, it doesn't matter, I'm now the song leader, and I start, oh, and everyone in the rest of the car then joins in because we've done this so many times, they now know the song, and we all sing, right? And that's exactly what's happening here. Is he's like, hey, had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, and the guy in the front is like, let Israel now say, and they're singing it out, had it not. And so you see, it's almost like what we do here on a Sunday morning, sing it out, Keystone. Because there's a song leader up front, and here's what's the content of this song. Verse 2. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, when the people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Here's the reality. The people of Israel are now singing this song. And they're singing it, and they're remembering the hazards that they face in their life, the things that make God good. And the first hazard that he's bringing up is people. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, then they would have swallowed us. Oh, when people rose against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. People rising up against Israel happened all the time. It was a constant. I mean, even in the Psalms, these are a few times that they record the people rising up against Israel. This is Psalm 2, 1 and 3. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away them from his side. The people always were coming against the people of God. And here in this text, the psalmist is personifying these people that are coming against him in all their anger as a monster. They're going to swallow us up. That's what monsters do. I mean, if you think about it, he's like being like, he's painting this in the poetic sense. Here's a monster, a dragon who will come and eat you alive. There's prey. Verse 6 is going to say that we're prey in their teeth. Guys, people can be a scary dragon. Let the introvert say amen, right? People can be scary. People hurt. In fact, if you were to talk and we were going to hear your story, probably the biggest hurts in your life have been from people. People are a hazard of life. I remember the first time I thought I was going to get swallowed up by a person. It was seventh grade, and his name was Charlie White, and he wanted to beat me up, and he totally could have. It would have been a bad situation if he came after me. And it was seventh grade, and I don't know, we had been friends in elementary school, and all of a sudden, I don't know if I did something, but he literally was threatening within an inch of my life. And after school, I would be like, I'm going to go the absolute opposite way that I think Charlie's going. And the only reason I didn't get swallowed up by Charlie is my brother knew his brother, and they were in high school together, and he went to his brother and said, hey, leave my brother alone. And Charlie was convinced because his older brother could have beat him up. So we just bullied him in another way. But I thought I was going to get swallowed up. And that's seventh grade, funny, ha-ha. But guys, people swallow us up all the time, don't they? Maybe it's a betrayal. Someone stabbed you in the back on a business deal. Someone else just left you high and dry. They absolutely lied to you. Like, not even just like, oh, it was a white lie. But it was like a downright lie, and they lied to you. There's broken relationships. Maybe it was because of betrayal, or maybe a number of things. There's infidelity, or there's a sister or a brother that this collision over a lot of things. Oh my goodness, how many ways it can go wrong, but there's now a broken relationship, and you feel betrayed and eaten and swallowed by people. I was thinking of this. Sometimes it's not even just those dramatic stories. Sometimes as a parent, I'm saying this in jest, but it's also true. It feels like your children are swallowing you up as you try to parent them. Like a little three-year-old can wreak havoc on your life. You know what I'm saying? Parents say amen, right? And you're like, they're swallowing me up. People are a hazard in life. And we can just tell story after story after story. And while the greatest joys in our life come by relationship and with people, the biggest hurts and the biggest hazard is sometimes with people who swallow us up. Then another, they're not the only hazard in life, circumstances. Look at verse 4. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging water. Could there be a more appropriate text for Ankeny, Iowa than this today? Absolutely not. Here's what he's getting. There's a poetic sense of the raging waters. And here's what a raging water is. It's something that comes upon you and it's sudden and it's destructive. We experience this. And this is circumstances in our life. The raging waters are personifying those things in our life that we didn't expect it. Boom, it just hit and it's taken us out. Right? This is the story for us today. Last night, I was with a Keystone family. We were eating dinner together, and our phones, all of a sudden, simultaneously, you probably happened to you too, boom, flash flood. And so I don't know what you do, but what I found is that the city of Ankeny kind of alarms you prematurely a lot, so we go, whatever, and put our phones away. And we sat and talked for another hour. And our kids called and said, the power's out, Mom and Dad. Our kids weren't with us. We have some older kids, and so we're like, okay, we'll come home. But then the power came back on and we're good. And so we just sit and finish the night. And when we go to leave, we're like, man, it is raining hard. And then we start driving home and we get around where we're about to turn in our neighborhood. And we look and there's a car stuck in the middle of the road. We're like, that's not good. So then we turn around and we go, whoa, we're pretty smart. There's multiple ways in our neighborhood. Thank you very much. Nature, we'll still win. And we drive and then we almost get stuck. And then we turn around, and the closest we can get is about a half a mile from our house. Our kids are still home, so we just kind of suck it up. We park our car in a church parking lot and hoof it. We just get out, take off walking. And we actually couldn't cross a certain section because now it's flowing with water, so we didn't knock. We just went through people's backyards with fences, and we come out, and we finally go down our road to half a mile. Literally, I tracked it this morning on Google Earth. It was a half a mile from our house. And we get home, and when we get home, we realize we got a problem because the creek next to our house is absolutely flooded. Our kids, they're actually fine. They don't really realize. I mean, they're like, okay, we're good. And they kind of go to bed, and we realize we're in trouble. And I kind of get home, and I'm like, all right, it'll probably start going down any time now. And then I look out, and it's probably raised a foot in another 30 minutes. And I'm like, and the next thing you know, it's up against our house. Now, I wish you guys knew where my house was. That's not an insignificant amount of water for it to get up there. The water, I don't even know what it is, but it's now at our house. And 2 years ago, our basement flooded. So we kind of have the drill, right? Unfortunately, we know the drill if your basement's going to flood. But so we move every piece of furniture in our house and throw it up into, I'm sorry, in the basement, and we pull it upstairs into where we think it's going to be safe. And the water keeps rising and keep rising. And literally, we send out people to pray for us, and we are on our knees asking God to do something, and by the grace of God, I have no clue how, but our basement stayed dry. It's sudden. It's unexpected. You didn't expect it to happen. We're eating dinner. We're not expecting waters to come up and the rest of our night to be ruined. This morning we got up and our son's best friends, they had just finished their basement, just finished it. But at the end of school year, I walked in and they're like, we finally got it done. And at 3 a.m. in our Insta story, she's got tears rolling down her face and she's got water this deep in her basement. Just, what do you do? It's sudden. You didn't see it coming. And the hazards of life, circumstances, just hit you. It's a basement flooding. I don't know how many people I've talked to this year. It seems like, because it happened to me, I've talked to a lot. Taxes this year, they got hammered. We got hammered with taxes this year. Didn't see it coming. The economy. And then it's not just small things, or big things. It's also small things. Something goes off out in the car. The AC stops working. You just trip, and you didn't see it coming. There's just hazards of life. And listen, guys, let's just be honest. It is easy to get overwhelmed with the hazards of life, right? People come against us. Circumstances we didn't know were coming, they come. And so the question is, what are we to do? Because you can't control any of this. You can't control any of it. Look what happens in the text. Verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Right in the middle, as they go, hey guys, the Lord is good. The Lord is our help. Remember, here's all these hazards. Let's be honest about the hazards. And what the psalmist does is right there at the pinnacle of these hazards that almost overtook us, he stops and he says, blessed be the Lord. In the midst of the hazards, he worships. This word blessed is the word barak in Hebrew. And it means to bless, to praise. And interestingly enough, the root of the word is actually a kneeling or a bowing. And the concept here, let me tell you what it's not, because when I was a little kid, I was like, why does the Bible say bless you or bless the God? Because in my mind, I hear the word bless you when you sneeze. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Why are we blessing God? So it's not a bless you, or it's not the southern way to say whatever to someone is bless your heart, right? That's not what it is. What it is there's this notion of a breaking down, that you're to kneel, that in the midst of everything, you're changing your disposition to a circumstance, and we're giving worth and honor. What is happening is that the people are changing their disposition. In the midst of the hazards, they're changing their disposition, and they're now bowing to God and say, we're blessing you. We can look at all these hazards, and they're going to overwhelm us, but we're now going to bless you. Blessed be the Lord. It's easy to get overwhelmed by hazards. Last night, I was really close to being overwhelmed by the hazards because we just did this thing. Actually, it was 3 years ago. Our basement flooded. And I'm savvy enough now to realize that when the water was rising on us, our sump pump was keeping up no problem. It was actually the creek. And if that water spills into our house, that's flood, no insurance, right? And so I'm tempted to be overwhelmed by the hazards. And because by the grace of God I'm teaching this, I'm like, well, the Bible says I should do something else. So I'm gathering the family. Let's actually stop and kneel in our living room and say, God, unless you stop the waters, our basement's going to be flooded. You can do it. Will you do it? Because you got to change your disposition to the hazards. And here's what he's done. He's not given us as prey to their teeth. The monsters didn't eat us. These men and women who were now traveling to Jerusalem, they're like, hey, we thought we were going to be eaten and swallowed up. And he's like, hey, their teeth did not overwhelm us. And then they say, we have escaped. Verse 7, it says, like a bird from the snare of a fowler, the snare is broken and we have escaped. They're blessing God and saying, God, we're worshiping you, because even though there were people, there were monsters that tried to overtake us, they didn't get us. Their teeth didn't overwhelm us, and we were trapped by these circumstances, but we were freed from the trap. And the reason they can worship is because they changed their disposition. They changed their disposition. Here's what's happened. They recognized their hazards, guys. They didn't ignore the realities, but they didn't ignore the monster teeth or the traps that they were in, but they realized that God is their help and their hope. You got to change your disposition. So here's a couple of options for us. That you have trained yourself to look at the hazards and not help. Anyone else fall into that camp? You don't have to raise your hand. It's really easy for us to begin to train ourselves to just to look at the hazards of life and be overwhelmed by them. It's so easy to do. But we need to look at the snare, that realize that the snare has been set free, guys. You are caught in the hazards. And these hazards, let's dial it back a little bit more. The scripture says in the New Testament that these hazards, these circumstances, these sins in our lives, that we're caught in our trespasses and sins. And there's a story throughout the New Testament. It's not just a story. It's what we call the gospel that says, hey, you are caught in a trap. You are caught in the circumstance of sin. And the only way out for you to get out of that trap is for you to put your faith and trust in Christ. So there's snares that are constantly trying to trap us, but God has given us a way out of those circumstances, but also eternally our circumstances. So here's the question. Are you focusing on the hazards of your life? Or are you focusing on God who is your hope? You know your circumstances. You know your people. And you know your disposition to the Lord. The question this morning, I think you should be honest about it. Are you focusing on the hazards or the hope that is in God? Some of you may feel a little discouraged. Because you're like, Brent, I really want to focus on God. I really want to deep in my heart, but all I do is focus on the hazards. People who've come against me, bosses, family members, neighbors I don't really like. They're coming against me. And I want to focus on God, but I can't. So I want to give, I think, what I believe is a secret sauce that we find in this text. Verse 8 says it this way, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Notice the pronoun, our help. Not my help, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Look at verse 1 and 2. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. This is huge, guys, because in the first few verses or first few psalms of the Song of Ascents, it looks like this. Psalm 121, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Psalm 121, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 123, to you, I lift my eyes. And here in this psalm, we see the secret sauce. You can't do it on your own. You can't always sing and survive on your own. There's moments in your life where you need to join the chorus and you need other people around you singing because you will lose hope. And when you're by yourself, the hazards will overtake you at some point. Even if you're strong, even if you think you got this, eventually the hazards will overwhelm you and cause you to despair. And there are moments where we need other people to come alongside of us and sing with us. Our help. You need to hear the song of other people who are saying, our help is in the name of the Lord, because you're going to think, my help's not. I'm about to die. There's monsters. They're attacking me. There's torrents. There's like floods. It's overwhelming me. And you need to hear the song of the saints are saying, no, our help is from the Lord. They need to help you lift your eyes. And what's interesting is, I love it when secular wisdom backs up what the Bible says. There's a book called It's a fantastic book. I recommend it all the time. The Power of Habit by a guy named Charles Duhigg. He's a New York Times was a reporter for them. He's a journalist. And he wrote a book about how habits work. And in his book about habits, when people are going to change, this is what he says. There's something really powerful about groups and shared experiences. People might be skeptical about their ability to change if they're by themselves, but a group will convince them to suspend disbelief. A community creates belief. I don't know Charles Duhigg's faith or his belief in the Bible, but he's preaching the Bible when he says that. In fact, do you know what he uses as an example? This is a completely secular book of this principle. He uses Saddleback Church and Rick Warren. This is what he says about Saddleback and Rick Warren. He says, Warren assigned every Saddleback member to a small group that met every week. It was one of the most important decisions he ever made. You have to have people who are going to be singing around you that says, our help is in the name of the Lord. Because there's going to be moments when hazards are going to overtake you and you need to hear other people singing. So what do you need to do? What are you saying, Brent? Here's what I'm telling you. Surround yourself with people who are singing. Surround yourself with people who are singing. Some of you have terrible singing voices. I've heard you. And honestly, I don't care, because I'd rather you sing terribly than not. But you need to find people in life. Maybe it's not a song, but with their very life, they're singing a song of, we trust in the name of our Lord. Our help comes from God, the maker of heaven and earth. Let Israel say. And when you're like doubting it, they're saying, hey, sing it out. Our God is a helper. You need to surround yourself with people who are singing. They're singing, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You can do that 1,000 ways. This isn't a connection group sermon, but it absolutely is. You need to be in a connection group. And not so that you can be in a group, but so that you can be around and shoulder to shoulder with people who are singing when you can't sing. Maybe you need to be at Men's Equip. Maybe friendships as adults is hard for you and you need to do something and work something in your life to find godly friendships that will sing. You've got to be around people who are singing. Let me give you a couple warnings. There are Christians that never look at the hope and only look at the hazards. I wish it wasn't true, but it is. They only focus and go on and on and on about the hazards. You can love them. Maybe you need to be singing to them, but just realize it. The point here is to be around people who are singing. Number two, I think this is huge because I don't think as a church we often do this well. Don't blindly ignore the hazards. Guys, the hazards are real and they hurt and they're frustrating. For you guys who have water in your basement, does it ruin your day? Yeah. Don't gloss over it. The Psalms give us plenty of room to be frustrated, but they don't leave us there. They make us lift our eyes. So if you're in a hard season, if the circumstances are nailing you, be honest about it, but just lift your eyes. So the question for you is, who's singing next to you? Think of your friendships. Think of the people you're in your life. Who is singing next to you? And if you can't think of someone, I'm encouraging you to find someone. Because hazards are going to overtake you. A few years ago, I was 35 years old, and my wife and my father was very ill, by and large from health conditions that he could have avoided. It was healthy choices that he made, and he was on his deathbed, and we knew it. And my wife looked at me, and she said, Brent, when are you going to take your health seriously? I'm like, thanks, honey. Because by and large, I've always been healthy-ish, and my fast metabolism has covered over a multitude of sins. And, you know, I'm a very active, I move, I like to play, but by and large, I'd never really thought I need to develop a healthy lifestyle. I had been able to, like, early 30s, like, I would take, 30, 90-day challenges, and I would do it for 90 days, but by and large, I did all that by myself, and I would get super bored. I'm really easily distracted. I'd be like, that's fun for 10 days, and now I'm out of that. So I'd run a little bit, and I was the guy who literally probably paid for a gym membership for 3 years and went 30 days. You know that guy? Or maybe you are that guy. And so it was a real question, and she didn't do it spitefully. And so I thought, you know what? At one time I'd done some stuff, and so I decided, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot. And I went into what many people called a cult, but it's CrossFit. And it's not for everyone. This ain't a CrossFit commercial. Trust me, it's not a CrossFit commercial. But here's what happened. I liked it because I wasn't alone. I'm an extrovert. Like, some of you guys have the self-discipline just to wake up and go to your basement and do a lot of push-ups and sit-ups, and it's like cool with you. That's not me. I need someone to go, hey, here's what you're doing today, and have a group around me that convinced me I should do it. And it worked for me. And I love it. It's a part of my life now. 4 years in, I go to the best of my ability 5 to 6 times a week, and some of my dearest friends are there, and it's changed a lot of my health in my life. Now listen, my fear is that you think I'm talking about health. I'm not. I'm talking about the reality that on my own, I couldn't stay healthy. Couldn't do it. Didn't have the discipline. I really wanted to, but I couldn't do it. I had to find a way to get around people who would say, hey, I know you feel like you're going to die. You're not. Keep going. It's going to be all right. I needed some people to sing around with me and cheer me on when I was trying to do it. Here's my question for you. When are you going to stop focusing on the hazards and start focusing on your help? When are you going to stop focusing on your hazards? Guys, they're real. They hurt. Frustrating. They're sometimes really expensive. But as a believer in the God who made heaven and earth, when are you going to start focusing on those? And when are you going to start focusing on your help? There's three groups in here. We'll be done. First one is this. Some of you that have tried what I'm saying, and you're struggling, but you'll be like, Brent, I'm the guy or I'm the gal who 4 years ago I wasn't workout and I was not taking my health serious. But I've come around. I've started reading the word. I've started getting in around people who are going to point me in the right direction. Man, I'm not perfect, but I see what you're saying, and it is so helpful to have people help me look up the people I hear singing when I'm frustrated. I'm overwhelmed with anxiety, and I hear other people singing, and I'm like, okay, God, you really are my help. I get what you're saying. Keep going. Keep going. Some of you, you've tried, and you failed. You're just like me in my healthy-ish days. You may be making it. You may be faking it, and you try for 15 days, and you make it a 30-day challenge, and you're in maybe 90 days, but you know, you're like, man, I've tried, and I've just not figured it out. Guys, you got to find someone who's singing, and you need to stand by them. You need to help them encourage you. In the Christian world, we call this accountability sometimes. We call it getting someone who's running the race you're running and just running, getting a running partner, getting a lifting partner, getting a yoga partner. That's what we call it in the non-Christian world, but you got to do that in the Christian world. You got to find someone who's singing because you're eventually going to be overwhelmed by the hazards. And then this is another group. You've tried to get out of the trap. You've tried to get your eyes off the hazards, but you categorically just can't do it. Here's what I mean. You're caught in a trap. It's called sin. And I don't care how much you try to get out of it, you cannot get yourself out of that trap. There is only one way. And you can't even begin to not think about the hazards because you don't have a relationship with God. And here's the good news. Yeah, you're trapped in your trespasses and sins, the scripture says. But God, in his unbelievable great mercy, he demonstrated his love for us, and he came and died on the cross, and he resurrected. And here's the key to stop being overwhelmed by those hazards. You have to have a relationship with him, and there's only one way to do that. It's not by going to church. It's not by being around a bunch of Christians. It's by a moment in your life saying, I'm stuck in the trap, and the only key is Jesus. It's not me trying to adjust my eyes. It's not me trying to fix it. It is only Christ. And you have to stop and come to a moment in your life and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I can't fix myself. Only you can fix me. And the beauty is what we call the gospel, that good news is that he does. He sets the trap free, and he allows us to look at him and not just our hazards. So where are you at? Do you focus on the hazards? Do you focus on your help? It's going to take a change of disposition in some of us. But you need to be around people who are singing because it'll help you lift your eyes to God. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we come and honestly, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters who are in real hazards right now in this city. Basements flooded, water damage, cars stranded. There's real hazards, but God, we want to be a people that whether it's that or whether there are people who are trying to gobble us up, that we learn, even in the midst of the hazards, to look to you, to worship you, to realize that there are monsters, but they will not eat us. There are circumstances, but they will not overtake us. And maybe even this morning, for the first time, someone would realize they can't overcome their hazards, but they have to trust in you for the first time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.